turn into your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Solomon writes here, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil." How can I be doing wrong? I'm not hurting anybody else but me. How many of us have ever heard that phrase, some form of that phrase, or even uttered that phrase ourselves? Sometimes they come from the mouths of children, but it's not always the case. The truly sad part of it all is that Satan has given this defense to weaken individuals that he is trying to control. I venture to say that all of us sitting here tonight, with maybe the exception of our very little ones, have fought many battles. Some battles we've won, and some battles we've lost. I've come to the realization a long time ago that wrong is wrong, even if only a single human is hurt. So the question, hopefully, that rises from our hearts is, how can we spread this message to others? There was once a house that God built. That house was built in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. Where it said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image God created him. Male and female created he him. It's amazing we think back in the very beginning of time and we were perfect. It is obvious when you read the creation that God cannot, will not create any imperfect thing. There was a man in Exodus chapter 31. Bezalel is his name. He was the one that God had proposed that would make the Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat, and all of the furniture in the tabernacle. In verse 3, it said of him, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." Perfection. Man was created in perfection to be perfect. But we know what happened in Genesis 3. Termites got into the house of God. Termites destroyed that perfect house of God. See, Satan, he put his hand, he desecrated the land by defiling the house that God built, mankind. We can see a very good example of this in Luke chapter 19. A very familiar account to all of us. In Luke 19, verses 45 and 46, "And Jesus, he went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." They desecrated the temple for man's own desires. By doing those things that only hurt ourselves, we allow him inside so that sin can abide, filling that house that God built. This was one thing Paul understood so well. For he wrote in Romans 5 and verse 12, "Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Back in the very beginning of the 1970s, I started working in the local fire department in Maryland. And as time went on, they established in the state the emergency medical technician program, where my brother and I, we entered into the second class in the county. I remember going through all the training. And when we came to the obstetrics part in delivering babies and things like this, on every ambulance that we maintained in our county, they had a little kit that we were to use for babies who were stillborn in order to baptize them. When I was a young man and not knowing anything as far as God's Word, I thought, this is pretty cool. Not realizing, because I've been told all my life that children are born into sin, but children are sinless. And that's how we came into this world, sinless. And then something happened. As we got older, it changed. Many of us came to believe the truth. Many of us repented and were baptized for the remission of sins. And once again, we became those babies, sinless. White as snow. Then we have to ask ourselves the question, how long did that last? I'd venture to say for some, not very long. For shortly thereafter, we started weakening the foundation that God built. The fulfillment we experience in those things can only hurt ourselves. It is that vanity part. The inside pain that we experience because we're only hurting ourselves is destroying the house that God built. It is written in Isaiah 9 and verse 10. Isaiah says the bricks are fallen down, but we will build them with hewn stone. Sycamores are cut down. We will change them into cedars. Now, the key to this verse is the building materials. Bricks will never outlast stone. And because of its inherent abilities to resist rot and decay and insects, cedar will far outlast sycamore. I've been reading a book, the Bible in History, and it talks about a lot of these archaeological finds in which so many things within the Bible has been proven to be fact. And they talk about these fortified cities that were built with brick and how they never really withstood a siege. They are very susceptible to weather. But stone, foundational stones, can support the weight. The cedars will never rot. The insects will not take with it. In Christ, when we were baptized, our foundation was strong, and it still is. Everything else in that house is weakening the house. The house that God built. In the 87th Psalm, in verse 1, it says in here that His foundation is in the holy mountains. That God, the builder, sent His Son to repair what was done, causing the devil to run, and thereby saving the house that God built. You see, in that proper moment in history, in that proper time of God's time, He sent His Son for us. And it had to be at that very moment. For Isaiah 26, verse 16 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." You see the relationship with Matthew 16, verse 18? And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That foundation, Christ our Lord, that house almost fell over. But it was saved from hell at God's chosen moment so that the Holy Spirit could dwell inside the house that God built, His Word in us. Unfortunately, Terminix is not on our speed dial, and we keep allowing termites of sin to tear away what was built on that foundation. In our scripture that I read at the beginning, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. If this hasn't rung true, this message is for you, because you are the house that God built. For Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We were created for a purpose. And God, because He created us for a purpose, He truly cares what happens to each and every one of His children. And so, because of this, everything that we do, whether we've convinced ourselves that no one else gets hurt, affects someone else. I'd like us to remember this. There are at least two people in this world that you would die for. And there are probably more than that. But you know, there are at least 15 people in this world that love you in the same way. And the only one reason anyone would ever hate you is because they want to be like you. You ever realize the effect that a smile has on someone? How much happiness a smile can bring to someone, even if they don't like you? Every night, someone thinks about you before they go to bed. You mean the world to someone. You're special and you're unique. Someone you don't even know exists loves you. When you make the biggest mistake ever, something good comes from it. Whether someone else learns from your mistake, or that mistake causes you to change your life, you learn something from that mistake. When you think the world has turned its back on you, look again. Always remember the compliments you receive, and forget about the rude remarks. Our body is a temple of the Lord. It was meant to be a dwelling place for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, spreading the message of truth to those around us. Any other occupation weakens the foundation, and it will eventually cause a total collapse and destruction within. Do not let termites in your temple Do not let them in the house that God built. Because it's not only God that cares for you, but we all do. If there is anyone here this evening whose desire is to become a child of God. The world seems to use that term flippantly, not a whole lot of meaning. After all, God created us all, so we're all God's children, but there's only certain ones of God's children that's going to receive an inheritance, and those are the one who's going to do the will of God the Father. And God has placed in the minds of men who put pen to paper to write His will down. We have it in the bindings of our Bible of what we need to do to receive an inheritance. You're here tonight, you're hearing God's Word. That's the step. Those words, do you believe those words? I'm not talking about, yes, I know God is real. I'm talking about knowing God also. Not just believing, but knowing God. Then repent. It means to turn your life around. Change the direction you're heading. Not in degrees, but immediate. Confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sin. On this rock I will build my church, Christ said. Build your temple on that foundation. Do everything that you can to keep it strong and sturdy so that it will endure the test of time. Because when we leave this temple, we will receive another that's incorruptible. Can you imagine that day when you rest in paradise, when the days of your life are over, and there's peace and tranquility, and you're just waiting to be called to heaven? We should all look forward to that day. If you're not a child of God, we ask that you make the decision this moment to obey God's Word. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've allowed some decay and rot in the temple that you need to make right. We want to give you the opportunity also to confess those sins if they need to be done so in a public way. If it's a private matter between you and God, go to Him in private and ask for forgiveness. Whatever your needs may be this evening, we ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.